of Zendaria. Chapter 8. The Road to Zendar. April awoke to the sound of birds chirping above her. It was only in daylight that she truly realized the enormity of the trees rising up, up into the sky. Their long brown trunks were nearly branchless for the first 20 feet from the ground. From April's perspective, to look up was to see a blank white portal of sky in the shape of the clearing they were staying in, with a dark wooden surround acting as a frame. She could feel Willow stirring at her feet. The dog slowly stood up and stretched, paws reaching at April's tummy. "Oh, thank you," April said, rolling her eyes. She sat up on the bench and rubbed the sleep from her eyelids. "Morning, Balthar," she began, raising her head until she caught sight of the figure clad in black. "Silanth!" He was sat cross-legged in front of the fire, which had continued from the night before. "What are you doing here? How did you find us?" April sat wide-eyed and staring.
"Honestly, I'm amazed half of Greenbridge hasn't found you. Disappearing from a burning tavern like that, there's only one real possibility of escape without being noticed, and that is downwards. And from there, well, there are only a few areas the sewers ultimately lead to, and experience told me you would be heading northwest."
April cocked her head, much like Willow.
"We're headed northwest?" she asked.
Balthar was a few paces away, rummaging through his bag.
"Aye, that's right. There's only one real direction for us to go at this point," he said.
"Zendar," April realized.
"Zendar," Silanth confirmed. "The capital is the only place you have any hope of blending in. And there are other matters to attend to."
He looked pointedly at Balthar and began unfolding into a standing position. "But before we get to that, there is something I must tell you, Princess." April sat half in her bedroll, listening.
"My being in Zendaria at this time is no coincidence. I did not appear out of idle wanderings, nor did I come here seeking to teach a young girl magics."
"Then why did you come?" April asked.
"Your father, King Handel Quosteed, the Uniter. Some rather unsavory evidence came across the desk of the Rangers' Council, and he has been deemed worthy of investigation."
Silanth walked over to April and crouched down at eye level with her.
"Is this about Shear?" she asked.
Partly. We've been after that wretch for years. Frankly, I'm stunned you're still alive. She's not one for leaving her targets in fewer than 5 pieces.
He nodded at Willow.
"From what I can gather, you were responsible for that, dog."
Willow grinned and panted in response.
"The main concern is not the assassin. It's what you saw in Dryleaf Forest."
"The hut you blew up?" April asked, remembering the sheer force of Silanth's pyromancy skill.
"What was inside the hut?" His black eyebrows bristled into a frown. "There's rumor of Zendaria using dark magics to gain territory and maintain order. Dark, ancient, ungodly magics that have been warped somehow. We are yet to attain the full picture, which is why I came directly to the palace. You were a perfect cover, Princess."
April was still trying to process all of this information, but the feelings right in front of her were those of being used and hurt.
"So I was just part of the job?"
She stood up angrily, and Silanth stood to match her.
"Initially. But I was fortunate to find that you weren't simply a spoiled brat. As fate would have it, I have found an exceptionally talented young girl who is, without a doubt, a polymage."
Balthar looked over and frowned.
"A polymage? April, are you sure?" he asked.
"I have never been more sure of anything. April, when you fought Shear, how was it the door shattered?"
April was taken aback.
"You saw it?" she asked.
"Of course. Now, that door was oak for wood. It would take 10 soldiers to break it down.
I summoned the wind. She was about to kill me, and it just came out."
April thought back to the moment of complete despair when she was certain of her imminent death.
"And it destroyed the door which let Willow into the room. I'd guessed as much. That power would take any ordinary mage years of work.
Balthar, you are too close to the forest to see the proverbial trees," Silanth reasoned.
"Apparently so. Had I known that last night, I might still have my tavern."
Balthar strolled over to the pair, toying with a small knife.
"Wait."
April had moved through her own feelings enough to see past them.
"My father has been using dark magics to expand our territory."
She once again sat on the bench.
"Well, we hope that's the purpose of them. Our main concern is that we don't really know what the magics are or the extent of their power. That hut in Dryleaf Forest contained a ritual site deep below, and I narrowly escaped with my life. What you saw me destroy was the remnants of the black, sticky life form I found oozing within. April's mind flashed to the nightmare she had that night, the crawling, flesh-gnarling sensation. She shivered instinctively. Was it necromancy? She asked. If it is, then it's unlike any necromancy I've ever seen. Most necromancers revive the dead. They don't create death itself. The feeling I got from that creature was soul-wrenching, and not of this world. Balthar interjected. Do you know what else is not of this world? Roasted hodge pig. He gestured at the campfire, and sure enough, four hodge pigs were spittled over the top, roasted to near perfection. He had skinned, gutted, and cooked them during the course of the conversation. Where did you get those? April asked, surprised. Caught them this morning. Takes me right back to my army days, this does, Balthar grinned. He presented the roasted woodland creatures on wooden plates to April and Salanth, and simply handed Willow hers. The ranger immediately took his to the opposite side of the clearing and ate with his back turned to the others. April was admittedly disappointed, as she had hoped to see what was beneath the black mask. Instead, she looked down at her plate and examined the recently dead hodge pig. She wished Miss Regibald were here. Nonetheless, she was hungry and sank her teeth into the meat. Willow excitedly did the same. It was surprisingly good and tasted vaguely of parabeek, though didn't everything. Once they were done eating, Balthar cleaned the plates with soap and water from his bag and they each packed up their belongings. Salanth carried only a small shoulder bag with him, dark brown in color and tied at the top. So are we going to Zendar now? April asked. That's the plan. Should be about a day's walk. Balthar held his bag over one shoulder. That long? April was shocked. She had been to the city often, but she had never realized it was so far. Her and the king had always been escorted in a carriage drawn by gold steeds, and it never looked that far away on the maps. Don't worry, I'll keep you busy along the way. You've much more to learn if you're to defend yourself properly in the outside world. Salanth began walking softly, leading the way. April, Willow, and Balthar began to follow as the fire behind them started to slowly die down to embers. Balthar snuck one look back at the carvings and silently bid them farewell. After walking in relative peace for an hour or so, the group came to the edge of the Frostbank Strip, an area of forest south of Zendar that was caught in permanent winter. The leaves and debris began to crunch underfoot with frost, and as they walked, larger and larger snowflakes began to drift down from above. Soon enough, they were ambling through a clear foot of snow. "Princess," Salanth began, "this may be a good opportunity to demonstrate something." "Oh?" April welcomed the distraction. Her feet were frozen and she could barely feel her fingers. Willow, on the other hand, bounded about happily in the snowdrifts that had piled up against clusters of trees. Salanth stopped walking and the others followed suit. He turned and faced April, and with him every snowflake hung in midair and turned at the same time. "You have discovered how to generate wind, and to devastating effect, but now you must learn how to control it." Salanth raised his arms and began moving them from left to right in grand gestures, with the snowflakes following his every motion. April was stunned. She dropped into her meditative state to try and detect exactly what the ranger was doing to accomplish such a feat. She could sense not one large airflow, but several tiny ones, hundreds in fact, all working independently of one another. "How do you control so many?" she asked. "Well done picking that up. Like everything, it is simple practice." He danced with the snowflakes for a few more seconds before allowing them to fall to the floor. "Now, this could take a good deal longer to learn than simple generation. To begin, I want you to try and catch a snowflake with an air current. It takes remarkable restraint to achieve." April appeared nervous. Until now, she had only managed massive gusts of wind in all-or-nothing situations. She maintained her state of oneness and asked the wind to form gently. After a few moments, she took a deep breath and sighed. She asked the wind again, and again, and again. She began to lose her temper. As her frustration and rage grew, she started silently shouting at the wind itself, until eventually a blast of wind sputtered its way from her palms, intermittent and still far too powerful to catch anything. "Ah!" she stamped her foot. "This is so annoying!" Salanth and Balthar looked on. Willow had her head poking out of a snowdrift to see what was happening. "I assure you, this is only the beginning of how extrinsic magics will test your patience. Accordingly, one step at a time, April." He walked forward and placed a hand on her shoulder. We will attempt this further while walking. If I may offer some advice, think small. The essence of wind is not in a grand gesture, it is in its collective parts, the accumulation of many fragments coming together and moving in the same direction to influence change. April pondered on this thought. You need only generate the movement of one fraction, one tiny piece of air, to influence everything around you. Xylanth turned and began walking forward again. Balthar shrugged his shoulders and followed, as did April. Willow burst out of her makeshift igloo and joined her friends along the path. The next several hours were spent with April occasionally blasting air from her palms and Xylanth pretending not to look back and check on her progress. She was slowly getting the knack of it, always trying to begin as small as possible with minuscule circular air currents in her palms, but it was difficult to maintain them. Orders of magnitude more difficult than becoming one with the air, April thought. Her stomach began to rumble and gripe, which interrupted her train of thought and dashed her concentration. Here, Balthar offered a piece of dried meat jerky. This should keep your strength up, princess. He took some more out of his bag and tore a piece off with his teeth. Can't go training on an empty stomach now, can we? He waved some in Xylanth's direction. No, thank you. The ranger continued looking straight ahead. Ah, suit yourself. Instead, he lobbed the meat in Willow's direction. She caught it merrily and began chewing. April continued practicing between mouthfuls of jerky until the snow began to thin again. Xylanth once again stopped in his tracks and turned to face her. Try again, he commanded. Complying, she closed her eyes and dropped into oneness with the wind before generating the tiniest possible air current she could in her right palm. Her mind was a constant stream of asking the wind to form. No, not too much. No, a little more. Steady. Please remain steady. Until eventually she raised her palm at the snowflakes drifting downwards. A delicate burst of air streamed upward, blowing the snowflakes in different directions before they meandered towards the ground. Xylanth's eyes widened slightly, an unusual sight for his otherwise stoic face. Damn it! April shouted in frustration. Balthar stood watching curiously, trademark cigarette in hand. I didn't expect you'd actually do it. Xylanth was stock still. What do you mean? I got it wrong again, April asked. Good gods, child, you really don't know how remarkable you are, do you? Xylanth began pacing, and his eyes darted around as he tried to find a way to explain. I truly don't understand how you cannot see. You are achieving things that should take years of dedicated study. You would put most rangers to shame. Having even this level of control over airflow should take an age of disciplined practice, and you have managed it in but a few hours. He stopped pacing and gazed into middle distance. I don't know whether to congratulate you or to simply fear your progress. April looked down at the floor. Why would you be afraid of me? She asked. No sane person would, said Balthar, interrupting. If you've enough courage to go against your own father at such a young age, you've enough courage to resist darkness, no matter how powerful. He glared at Xylanth. With this amount of sheer aptitude, she's going to have the notice of every mage, king, politician, and person of power in the entire continent. And the Rangers' Council, Xylanth spat. Don't talk about me as if I'm not here, April said angrily. And right now we have bigger things to worry about than politicians and how powerful I may or may not grow up to be. We need to get to Zendar and avoid being hunted by the Royal Guard. I'm sorry, Princess, Xylanth bowed gently. You just took me by surprise. I'm not used to that. Balthar offered the ranger a cigarette, which he politely declined. It's okay, I understand. Where's Willow? April asked, looking around, trying to find signs of fur among the snow-dusted trees. A guttural growl was coming from behind the group, and they turned to see Willow in attack-ready stance. Charging towards them in the distance were several royal guardsmen with their swords drawn. How in Hellspeth did they find us? Balthar exclaimed. We need to go, April shouted. Willow, come on! Xylanth stood silent as Willow turned and ran past him back to April. Step back, he commanded. The group knew from his tone not to argue and stood back. As the guardsman drew nearer, Xylanth clutched his hands to form a ball and muttered under his breath, Tyrannas bleth! A light grew in his hands and he tore them apart, directing them at the ground in opposite directions. An explosion of flame tore its way into the earth, forming a dividing wall of fire between the guardsmen and April's group. Bloody hell! Balthar shouted. These rangers really don't mess about, eh?
Salanth swiftly turned from the approaching guards and ran past April and the others.
Come on, that won't hold them forever.
Together they ran through a clear 3 miles of forest at least before finally stopping to catch their breath. April's feet were bruised and covered in scratches from tearing through woodland at such a pace. Willow laid down on her side, panting. April set some water down for her and took a good few gulps herself.
Princess, I'm afraid I must ask. What did you bring with you?
Salanth was breathing heavily.
Just my usual belongings, she said defensively. Clothes, books, you know, my stuff.
Salanth eyed the hilt of April's sword carefully.
Where did you get that?
He asked.
My dad gave it to me the day that Shea attacked.
A wave of realization struck.
Let me see.
She withdrew the sword and its sheath from her belt and handed them to Salanth. He pulled the sword out and examined it.
Zendarian steel, clearly forged by Werelok. It has his signature all over it. Fine craftsmanship had it not been half destroyed. Shea's work, I assume? He inquired.
She froze it and snapped the blade, April said, lamenting the loss of her weapon.
And crushed the handguard.
It now resembled fragments of the outskirts of Zendaria, rather than a map of the country itself in globe form.
A shame, truly.
Salanth turned it on its side and glared at the tassel hanging from the pommel. In one quick motion, he tore it off and burned it to cinders in his hand. He opened his palm, and within was a glowing purple gemstone. Balthar's eyes arched upwards in surprise.
A tracking gem?
It would appear so. Salanth examined it carefully.
A what?
April asked. Kings of old used them to keep track of their queens, family, subjects, whoever they pleased, really, in order to know where they were at all times, Balthar said. It's an archaic practice that has long fallen out of favor in monarchies across the continent. Nowadays, any leader who requires the use of these is considered weak, Salanth interrupted. April again stood in awe at the actions of her father, questioning any trust in every interaction she ever had with him.
But if he knew where we were, why did it take so long to find us? She asked.
You need to switch it on, so to speak, and you need to be near the device that actually does the tracking, sort of a large circular window thingy, Balthar said.
April vaguely recalled various circular objects in her father's study, but it was impossible to know if any of them were actually the tracking device.
It must have taken a minute to realize we were gone, and then get to the device. Plus, the old bugger's got to sleep sometime.
Salanth began moving some dirt from the ground, and Willow quickly joined in, digging away at the earth. After a time, he threw the gemstone in and began to put the dirt back. Willow didn't quite get this part, but eventually it all made its way back on top of the tracking gem.
Shouldn't we destroy it? April asked.
Impossible, unfortunately. It's one of the reasons they are so effective.
Salanth dusted himself off.
Thankfully, they're not immune to being buried. It will at least slow our pursuers down. In the meantime, we should keep going.
April gathered her strength, nodded, and began soldiering forward. They were all exhausted, none more so than April, who had possibly put too much effort into her aeromancy practice, but they trudged on for another several hours before finally reaching the edge of Zendar. All light had slowly dissipated from the sky as they walked, and so the city was a flood of neon against a backdrop of blackness and stars.
"Wow!" April exclaimed. "I've never seen a city at night before."
"Really?"
Balthar asked in surprise.
"We would always be here for royal business for the day and then go home," April explained. "How do they make such beautiful lights?"
"Alchemy," Salanth answered. "The same technology that makes the royal guard's bombs so potent, but on a much smaller scale, and set to endure rather than to flare up all at once."
The ranger pulled out a ticker-tock watch and noted the time.
"Balthar, where is our appointment? We shall soon be late."
"The Flying Stork," replied the dwarf. "Come on, follow me."
"We have an appointment?" April asked.
They wandered through the back streets of Zendar, which grew increasingly dark and rough. People of all colors, creeds, shapes, and sizes littered the streets, inebriated or selling something.
"Ah, here we are."
Before them stood a squat building with one neon-lit sign above it stating, "Telying Stick." The owner evidently hadn't seen fit to replace the burnt-out letters.
"Come on."
Balthar nodded his head towards the door, and they entered the tavern. The interior was so dark you could barely see the floor, booths, chairs, or tables, and it took only a few moments of close inspection before April realized this was probably intentional. The bar was directly opposite them as they walked in. In front was a row of bar stools, and above was a line of drinks and blue neon strip lighting. Gruff-looking patrons sat about, mostly drinking and avoiding conversation. One of the bar stools was occupied by a slender, red-headed figure. April's heart near skipped a beat before she realized the hair was too straight to be sheer, and the slight features of the woman were too different. Furthermore, she had tattoos adorning her arms, and her face was punctuated with various piercings of all shapes and sizes. April could just about make out that her ears came to a slight point. She had been too transfixed by the woman to notice who she was talking to. Sat opposite was a guardsman. They appeared to be smiling, gesturing. It was outright flirtatious until...
Bastard!
She picked up his tankard of ale and threw the contents in his face. He immediately reached for his sword. The woman's eyes flashed a delicate blue color at the guard. He stopped in his tracks and lost all focus, appearing dazed and confused, his stocky figure lulled from side to side. After a moment, he shook his head wildly and regained his faculties before angrily taking a swing at the woman. She dodged neatly, grabbed his belt in one hand and his shoulder in the other, and flipped him clean onto the bar so he was laying on his back. She quickly slammed a dagger into the bar mere millimeters from the guard's right eye.
Knife ears isn't just a slur, you know.
She wrenched her dagger from the wood, sheathed it, and strutted past April and the group, exiting the tavern.
Who was that?